down to the right and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, 9th of June, 73. Janitor to right and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, 9th of June, 73. Janitor to right and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, 9th of June, 73. Janitor to right and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, the 9th of June, 73. Channel 2 right and beginning to visit Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, the 9th of June, 73. Telephone down to your house. And I said I had one or two little pieces of business. And she says, I had a heart attack. I thought she said she had a heart attack. Turned out you knocked over. And then I went down Mr. Palmer's. And he's sitting up there with that leg. Oh, bound up?
Yeah.
He had a close call, Mr.
You're damn right.
I don't believe he realizes what a close call you can have with that.
He was in worse shape than I was.
Yes, but he didn't know it. You think?
Because his foot, I don't know whether you saw it or not, but his foot was just black as ink.
Yes.
See that blood clot?
Yeah.
And he won't stay off it.
I don't push it. Golly.
I was over there at the motel, you know, they started painting. And them painters there, they claim to be painters, but hell, they ain't no painters. They didn't want to paint up in between the rafters, you know, the overhead, the ceiling, and the motels, on the porch part. They'd got to have them all smooth to paint. So, you shut that off. And so they went and bought some of that cheap masonite to put on there. Well, Jesus, you know, you pick up a sheet of it, and it doubles right down just like a sheet of paper. There ain't nothing to it.
Yeah.
So they tried putting it on, and they made a fizzle of it. They couldn't do it, and so they wanted to know if I wouldn't do it. And I told them no. Well, then they went to Claude. And of course, Claude, he come begging to me to put it on, so I went and put it on. Well, we got the one porch done, just about done there. We're nailing on some of them molding around there. Jesus, all at once, you know, they hit me right in here, and I went right on my knees. And Jesus, and I couldn't get up. Well, I crawled over into a chair and sat there for about a half an hour, and finally, I got over and picked up my hammer and threw it in the truck and picked up the tools that I had out there. I told the fellow that it was supposed to be helping me. I said, Jesus, I can't do no more today. That was on Saturday afternoon, a month ago today. But Jesus, I just kept getting worse, you know, and So Monday I come up to McIntosh to the drugstore, see if I get some of my old heart medicine. He didn't have any, but he says I'll have some by 3 o'clock. So at 3:30 I went up and they had it. Well, I started in taking that, and it's helping me. But I get pooped awful easy.
Yes, short of breath.
Jesus, I can't take nothing. Now today, well, this morning I had to put a new pressure regulator on the water pump. And I got that on, and then I went down to Carl Smith's. That water heater down there that quit. Well, I needed the wire goes from the meter box down through under the house there somewhere, and it's burning too somewhere, I don't know where. I had juice on it to start with, and when I got the other end, I didn't have any in one wire. So I had to run a new line. Well, down under that house, there's just the bathroom part of it, and one other room there that's got any space underneath it. The rest of it's all filled in and cemented, see? Well, when they done that, when they went to go from the meter box to go down through and under the bathroom with them wires, they put a piece of that 3-inch plastic pipe in under there and then pushed the wires all in that. Well, you know, there's, I guess there's a dozen wires in that pipe, and then there's the wire that goes out to the kitchen range. And you know, I had one devil job to push a number 10 wire down through that. That is a cable with the two wires in. Because, see, there were so many in there, you know, and I suppose I laid on one side here and over here on the other side and maybe the bottom and then up to the top. And I had a devil time. Geez, you know, I had to crawl under that damned house 3 times before I got that wire back down through and under there.
Well, your wife said that you wasn't going to do that crawling.
I know she said so, but I went ahead and done it. The goddamn thing, you know, it ain't just about that high. Mrs. Smith says, if I could get under to get through that hole, I'd go under there for you. Well, I said, geez, ain't no need of your trying it.
Yeah.
She's got quite a big body on her, you know, and she'd get stuck before she got started.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice house they've got down there.
Quite a nice house, yeah. But built the damn thing down in a hole like that.
Yeah.
Old Steenbergen done that with all the money he had and then go and build that down in a hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Well, you're taking your medicine.
Eh?
You're taking your medicine.
Yeah.
And that's the same bottle you had before.
Same kind of stuff. But geez, there was 3-4 days there. God, I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't not walk. That's the way it affects me, you know. It just plugs me right off on walking.
Oh, really?
But I'm getting better. I do quite a little bit now.
Well, how'd you know? Did you know what the medicine was?
Yeah.
You could tell him.
Yeah. And he went and looked it up on the book. Well, he says, here's one place here. He said, where you got 500 of them off in Hendricks. I said, yes, I used to get them right along.
You had a record of it.
Yeah. You're supposed to have a prescription for them, but I got them without a prescription.
Well, way back. That was way back when Hendricks was there.
Yeah, that's when I was getting them. I was buying them 500 to a time when Hendricks was in there.
Now, 1950?
But I haven't taken any since. You see, when I went down and had that operation for my gallbladder, they checked me down there and they said, Jesus, don't take any more of that stuff because your heart's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, you can overdo. You see, I was holding up that stuff with one hand and nailing up with the other, and I was just overdoing.
Well, Mr. Eastman, I knew you didn't have...
Hmm?
I knew you didn't have much judgment, but I didn't know you'd that far along.
You knew I didn't have much judgment, but you didn't know that I was a pure fool.
Well, you see what does it now. I'm telling you. It's these big jobs you get where you got to go early and go stay late every day,
well,
in, day out. That's what does it.
I'll tell you.
It ain't these little jobs.
They had a job down there in the kitchen, down there at the restaurant, you know. And we had to make new tables and everything down there, and new floor. And had to put down all new tile all through the kitchen. Well, you take it to putting that down when somebody working in there, and you've got a job on your hands. Because you can put down just so much, you know. You can put a strip down there about 3 foot wide. Put your goo on the floor, and then you got to wait for it to set a little bit, you know, before you can put your tile on. Well, you can get 3 foot now, and then after a bit, you can get 3 foot more. And you take it working in under all them tables and under the sinks and under that stuff, and moving the refrigerator and the deep freezer and all of that, and getting it back and under them. I worked down there days, and then there were 3-4 nights that I went over and worked on that floor.
Yeah.
See, they wouldn't be quite so busy at night as they were in the daytime.
Yeah.
I'd go over there nights and work at it.
You were working on the night shift.
And by geez, you know, we got it all done, and old Dixon came in the kitchen. He looked it all over there, and you know, I'd made a new... bench or table to put the deep fryers and their grill on, and then had all Formica on that.
Yeah.
Jesus, it does look nice.
Oh, I bet it does.
Oh, God, it's nice.
Ooh.
And old Dixon come in and he looked things over there and he turned around and he says, Claude, you're getting in good shape. He says, I ain't got nothing more to say. Claude said he thought, but Jesus, it was just about time that Dixon began to pull in his horns on it, you know, because he'd been so damn disagreeable.
Oh,
he must have been a pill, Mr. I'd hate to put up with him.
Well, you know, they told me down there in Ocala. Down there, when I was down there checking, you know, they says, you see that big chef? Geez, he's a hell of a big guy. They says, he's an Italian. And he ain't always too good-natured. And he says, Dixon will come in here, he says, and say, well, I'm Bill Dixon, the restaurant inspector. And I'm on a diet. And I'm going to stay here for dinner. Now, I want my stuff cooked so-and-so, and this so-and-so, and that so-and-so, and the other thing so-and-so. This fellow talking to me, he said, one of these times, he's going to tell that fellow that. He said, he's been telling these other ones. And he said, he tells him that, and he ain't feeling just too good. He said, he's going to knock him right in the middle of next week. He said, but Jesus, they'll carry him home, put him to bed.
Mr. Eastman, it never happens to stinkers like that.
Yeah.
They never get it. Something saves them.
Yeah, something saves them.
You might get it, or I might get it, but he won't get it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, let me tell you, Mr. Eastman, if you and Johnny Palmer conk out on me, I might as well conk out too.
Oh, Guy was sad. He said, well, the community can't do without Mr.
What
Eastman
in the world would I do with them well diggers down there? Williams Williamson, whatever the name is.
Yes.
What in the world would I do? I wouldn't get nothing at all.
Yeah.
Just get a hard time, wouldn't I?
The Williams down there, they got to do something with him. They've asked him to ask him decent to get rid of them damn Mexicans. But you know, he keeps a pulling in more all the while down there, see? And he gets an old trailer somewhere, and the next thing you know, he got another Mexican family in it. And then they'll get drunk and get fighting, and they burnt one trailer up for him. And they're just a nuisance, you know. Drunk and hollering, yelling around there all night, all hours of the night.
Oh, you mean you can hear them? You can hear them?
Huh?
You mean you can actually hear them?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, they get going up and down the road and hollering, yelling, raising the devil.
And burn. Well, what does he use them for, Mr. Eason? What can they do?
Well, he gets the rent out of them and gets a good big rent because they want nobody else to have them.
Oh, that's why he...
Yeah.
He don't work them.
No. Hell no, he don't work them. No, they work around here and there and all over, getting in hay and I suppose picking beans and one thing or another and squash and watermelons. There'll be a damn bunch come in there pretty quick getting watermelons.
Will they?
Oh, that kind of people.
Yeah.
See, there's been a bunch in there now picking squash.
Oh, has it?
Squash and cucumbers.
Yeah. They follow the season. Oh, I see. They'll stop there.
Sure. And you see, now they come through here and they're working here and the squash and cucumbers. All right, pretty quick, you know, they'll be gone, and them fellas be gone up into Georgia.
Yeah.
See? Well, and then the watermelon fellas will come. Well, they'll get the watermelons here, and then they go in and keep going north, you know, but they just like, get clear up.
Yeah. They still follow the season, don't they?
Yeah.
In the old days, you know, Mr. Eastman, a lot of these people did it. Sometimes they did it just for the lark.
Yeah.
Of course, most of them did it, you know. I don't know. They did it. Well, let me tell me. Now what happened to John Palmer?
Huh?
Tell me about John Palmer.
That's about John Palmer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the devil the people would do if something happened to John.
Well, what would they do? Would they
yeah,
end him
I
up?
Don't know. Them people down around Reddick down there, they just depend on him, you know, from day to day.
Yeah, they got to depend on him and buy from him, and then they steal from him.
Yes, yeah. Then they'll come in and borrow some money, you know. And John will let them have money. Well, then they'll come in and say, well, now, Mr. John, I can't pay you back only so much this week. Well, Jesus, now John said, you promised me that, now... And I was good enough to let you have it. And oh, geez, how they will get it going. It's kind of laughable to hear them, you know.
Yeah. Both sides know how it's coming out.
Yeah. Okay. And then some of them will owe pretty good bills in there, you know. And they'll come in and they can't pay it all. John would say, well, now, if you'd have stayed away from Johnny's up there, but God, you'd have had the money to pay this grocery bill. And he would go at them, you know, and you'd think they'd get mad, but I don't know, they seem to like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they do. They seem to like it.
I don't know. I don't know how they figure that. I'll tell you one thing. He ain't got no fence post.
Huh? He ain't got what?
He got no fence post.
Yeah.
No. And that poor old barbed wire cost $13-$15 a roll.
What's for barbed wire?
Just plain old barbed wire.
Geez, I didn't suppose it was that high.
Well, I'm sorry I told you.
Yeah?
Yes,
geez, we used to buy, I don't know, $3-$4 a roll.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been 7 or 8 for a long time.
Yeah, I know that.
A nice double. Mr. Eastman, what has happened? I was down there. We were sitting out there in your parlor, and this singing was going on. Oh, he was a mockingbird sitting up in that tree.
Yeah.
There. Oh, he was singing.
Yeah, he does sometimes.
Take this cake off.
About every night, just before dark, boy, he'll get her going there and. Well, he does trip it off.
Yeah. Well, I asked about your Martins. Martins.
We didn't have any this year, only for 2-3 days.
Uh-oh.
Them damn starlings kind of drove them out.
Well, can't you do anything about it?
Well, I don't know. I started shooting some of them, but yes, I can do something about it because I can take the damn box down.
Yeah.
And leave it down a little just about with, you know, when you think the martins are coming or you see a martin around and then stick it back up.
Can you climb up there or your ladder?
Well, we let it down.
I see. You just turn it over.
Yeah, it's on. There's two pieces of car frame set in the cement, see, and then
yeah.
This post is in between it with a bolt down to the bottom and
yeah.
One up here 3 foot high.
Yeah. Well, now, you see my little station out here? You see, when the blackbirds get into that sometimes, and they just sit up there in the trees, they'll sit up there in the trees and do all that funny singing of theirs. And I can't sit them out. If I put anything out there, they'll sit me out.
Yeah.
So if I've got something out there and I hear them out in the trees, I just take a piece of cloth out there, a rug or something.
And cover it up.
And cover it up. And then by darn, they'll go on home. I might even let it stay for a day or two. And then take it off and let these other little birds, you know.
Well, I'm going to take mine down one of these days before too long and clean it all out and maybe paint it up again.
Yeah. Faye?
Yeah?
When you get through, we are just holding Mr. Eastman up. I forgot I didn't mean that. I thought he just had the day free, you see. You got,
Well, I was just going to get a little piece of cake from Mr. Eastman to take.
Take with
it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice.
And
well, still we can settle it, but Bill, so
yeah.
He won't.
Let me get a check.
Feel like I got one right here.
Okay. Well, we not much you can do about those martins when they're up and the nest is up so high.
Yeah.
So all you had to do was just go up to the drugstore and they could look at that record.
Well, I had the old bottle there, see, with the prescription number on it.
Oh, you did? Sure.
But I didn't have any of the medicine there, because when they told me that not to take anymore, well, what I had I throwed out because I thought it'd be getting old, you know, anyway, and I wasn't going to be needing it. myself. Cost you about $1.50.
Did I ever pay you for that wrench?
I think so.
I don't have any recollection.
I paid him.
I think so.
Oh, you paid him?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Let me tell you, I've been I've been farming some.
Oh, yeah.
I see you got quite a lot plowed up there.
Yeah, got 5 acres up there.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This colored fella from over at Citra, all last year he brought us pears and vegetables. And I thought, well, I might put in a little Alice clover or something like that for hay. But if I could get him over here, let him farm it, I wouldn't get anything out of it, but I might get a few vegetables. Well, it was hard getting him over here, and he finally plowed it himself. You ought to see them plow, Mr. Eastman.
Oh.
You know, when you plow it, you turn it. Well, he plowed so damn deep it couldn't turn. It just stand up there. I don't know what it is. He did it all. I didn't even go there. You see, if he did, I'd get on him. You see. You know what? I had some of it. I planted because I didn't know whether you'd come back or not. And you know what? I had to go over that. I got a good harrow, good disc. It cuts. And I went over that 4 or 5 times, Mr. Eastman, before it was smooth enough to plant.
I've seen that done.
That's the truth.
There was a fellow up home, he was plowing some alfalfa like that, and his neighbor said, look at how he's cultivating that alfalfa. Well, that's about the way it was, you know. You see, you got too deep, and it didn't cut it off, you know. It just kind of pulled it a little bit, you know, and then it started right up and grow. So, that was that.
Oh, sure. Well?
You signed your name on it, all right, yeah. Hey, now, wait a minute. That ain't what I told you at all.
Well, you had your trip up here.
Huh?
You had your trip up here.
Well, I don't like to overcharge people.
Well, I'll tell you, Miss Eastman, I always pick up enough extra advice and information like that.
Have y'all just hold on a minute while I fix this case?
Well, let me tell you, I put in some Alice clover on. Well, it's not a good... You see, if you put in Alice clover or something like that, you ought to put in early.
Yeah.
And then the first time it rains back, it'll start going. If you wait till this late, the first time it rains, and you got it turned, the coffee weed will start growing. Well, and it grows so damn rank, there's nothing you can do
about
it.
Have you sowed it up there now?
I sowed some of it. And then then John Turner showed up.
Yeah.
He had 3 bags of peanuts, $22 a bag.
Yeah.
150 pounds of peanuts, and he, you know, enough to plant the whole thing. And I told him, hellfire, if I'd wait on him, he wouldn't got here in the middle of summer until I told him I was going to start planting myself. He got over here the next morning, and he put in, 3 acres. He rigged up my old,
Well, listen, a bushel of peanuts will plant 15, 20 acres, won't it?
This was 50 pounds.
Huh?
50 pound bag. I don't know how many bushels in a bag. 50 pounds.
Well, I think that the shelled penis like that, I forgot, seems over 56 pounds to a bushel.
Well, Mr. Palmer knows all that.
Yeah.
But this fella, he plants peanuts all the time. And I thought maybe he'd put in some roasting ears or sweet corn or something like that, you see. But no, he just put in that peanuts. Peanuts won't do much good.
Well, has he got an allotment on peanuts?
No.
I thought you had to have an allotment on them to plant peanuts.
I don't know what that is. That's up to him. Because I don't get a thing out of it. Just a hard name, as a fellow.
Be like a fellow by the name of Stettner. They come down from New Jersey, 3 or 4 of them. And they bought that 100 acres down there on 441, just this side of the Hooker Farm. You know where the Hooker Farm is? Down there just this side of where the 301 joins up. Well, they bought that 100 acres in there for $88,000. And there was one little house on it. Well, there's three houses on it as far as that goes. But there was one big house and two small ones. Well, the old big house is pretty damn rotten. Jesus, I don't know how it stands up. It's had up the termites. See, there ain't nobody lived in it in years. Well, the main entrance was in the old big house, see? Well, then from the big house, they just had a number 12 wire cable run from the big house over to these other two small ones. Well, they wanted to fix up one of them to live in. So they took and fixed up the first small one. So I went down and put an electric entrance on it, and the power company hooked it up. But this Bob Stettner, you'd laugh at him, goddamn hair all bushied out, you know, and clear down his damn back, whiskers all over his face, and he had just two little spots on here that he shaved in there, and so that you'd know that he was a white fella. And he was a professional photographer from up in someplace in New Jersey. He'd been through college up there and had this professional photographer degree. And I think there was a couple other fellas stayed there with him some of the time. And then once I was over there, geez me, he had a woman from up in New Jersey staying with him. But what I was getting at, he tried to get a job around here in the photography work, you know. He finally got down to Disney World. But you know, I saw his picture in the paper where he was taking pictures down to Disney World, and but Jesus, they'd cut his hair all off and shaved him all up, and he looked like a different fella. You see, they won't hire anybody down there, you know, without their clean shaven and a good short haircut.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they weren't hired, nobody.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't either, Mr. Eastman, if I could.
I was telling John Palmer about it, you know. John has sold him quite a lot of stuff for over there. John said, God, I'd like to see that picture. Well, I came back home, and you know, we must have burned it up because I couldn't find it. I had thought at the time, I thought about cutting it out. Save it, you know. But I cut out some pieces like that, and then Evelyn, she'd give me hell for cluttering up everything, the old clippings. So I didn't cut that piece out. But I should have, because, you know, he was. Yeah, he was. I thought maybe he was a Jewish cantor. You know what a Jewish cantor is?
Well, I could guess. I'd just have to guess.
What would you guess?
Well, he belongs to the church, and He performs up there.
He's the next guy under a rabbi.
Oh, that high.
Yeah. Cantor is the next thing under a rabbi.
Yeah.
And they always have charge of all of the music and everything in the church.
Yes.
A rabbi does.
And they belong to some order where they don't shave and things like that?
Yeah, that's where they, you know.
Yeah.
I have seen pictures of rabbis in the paper where they was all shaved up.
Yeah.
And looked like any ordinary fellow, but them old-time rabbis, boy, they...
Yeah.
The same way with the Greek Orthodox Church, you know. Their head priests, they always have whiskers all over their face.
Oh, yes. 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 Yeah. But there's just not so many of them.
No.
As there are these other things. $88,000 for 100 acres of land.
Now, 100 acre. 100 acres, and they paid $88,000. Well, now they fixed up the house, and they got somebody to plant a lot of peanuts on it. Now, what do you suppose they want for it now? They want to sell it. What do you suppose they want for it?
150.
Huh?
150. 100,000.
They want $220,000.
Mr. Eastman.
For 100 acres of land.
Just plain old Marion County land.
Yeah.
And all they did was fix up the house a little.
Yeah.
Well.
I told him that he said that they was real estate dealers. I said, hell, you ain't real estate dealers, you're real estate hogs.
Yeah. Well, if you do anything for them, you ought to charge them the same rate.
Yeah, but now they're trying to find some more land around to buy it, too.
Yeah. Oh, they come down here with money.
Jesus, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to this real estate business. People have gone nuts.
They just act like they ain't going to be any more land in the world.
Now, you take it down there up that Dungarvan Road that I live on. When you get way over to where it goes on to this other crossroad over there, there's a fellow by the name of George Thomas from Miami come up there and bought, I don't know, a hell of a big chunk of land. I don't know how many acres he's got. But they built some beautiful buildings up on there, you know. You either put $50,000 into a house, or that wasn't nothing, you know. And his mother lives up there in a trailer. And with all the money he's got, they catched him and Ned Moran cattle rustling.
Oh!
Oh, that's the one.
Oh. Yes, sir, with all the money that he's got, but Jesus, they catched him and Ned Moran cattle rustling.
Well, he in it just for a lark?
Jesus, I don't know what they done it for.
Of all things.
But you know, the law is too damned easy on him.
Yeah. 2 years.
But you know, when I was a boy, you know what they done with them?
Yes.
They hung them to the first dang tree they come along to that was big enough to hold them up.
Yeah. And stop it. Yes, sir. Well, this Moran fella, he could make plenty of money.
Yeah, he's a horseshoer, and I guess he's pretty good horseshoer, too, from what I hear.
Yeah.
But he drinks like hell.
Uh-oh.
Most all of them horseshoers always did drink.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, just same as painters.
Painters drink?
Most all of them. Painters and horseshoers, that was an old saying years ago, even today.
Yeah. Yeah. Horseshoers, blacksmiths?
Yeah.
Blacksmiths? Or just horseshoers?
Well, this Ed Moran, he isn't a blacksmith, he's just a horseshoer.
Yeah.
You take anything else to him, take some iron to him to get it welded, and hell, he don't know nothing about welding it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just horseshoer. Seemed to me like he took a course in it.
Well, they will be in, they'll be in court pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because they're out on bail.
He was parked down the drugstore when I come back from your house.
He was.
His truck.
Yeah.
I don't recognize him. I don't know him when I see him. Well, it'll be in court in Marion County? Well, maybe we ought to go down and...
But you know, when they got some kids, and the old lady Cummins there, she's got kids, and they 3 or 4 other families in McIntosh, and they're Catholics. So they don't let their kids go to the county schools, you know. They take and cart them up to Gainesville somewhere to some parochial school.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah, they take them up there. Then they take turns. One of them will drive them up one day, and another one will drive them up the next day. And then somebody else will go and get them.
Cummins?
You know her? She lives up in the old cookhouse where Miller was.
Yes. I didn't know that.
But she has sold that, and she's bought, I think it's 50 acres or 75. Oh, Jesus, where did she tell me it was? It's off up back of McIntosh somewhere, off over west there somewhere.
Yeah.
And those women down there that's on that... I can't tell you the name of that. Farm now. Well, anyway, it's up on the Millwood Road, up behind the cemetery, up back there ways. There's 3 old maids from Texas. And one of them is, she teaches nursing up the university. Her name is Green, Jerry Green. And she's the head one of the bunch. But they have just bought a chunk of land, I think it's about 100 acres, off up on that Archer Road.
Yeah.
And there ain't a sign of a building on it. There's nothing but just, it was partly cleared and partly woods up in there.
Yeah. Well, how'd you get in with them 3 old maids, Mr. Eastman?
Well, they built a horse barn down there, and they had to have some electricity out there.
Yeah.
So I got a fella to do the digging, and we put electric line from where they had the pole, where the electric pole come out there. You see, they've got a big trailer, and... I put the electric line out there and wired up the horse barn for them. Well, I had one job ahead of that. She went down to John Palmer down there about a washing machine, an automatic washing machine. And they had it in the trailer. And you know, them automatic washing machines, they never should be put in one of them house trailers. Because every once in a while, one of them will leak, or you spill water, or some damn thing, and they get the water all over.
Yeah.
So they wanted to know John about getting somebody to look at it and see what they could do with it. So John sent me up there.
Yeah.
And I went up, and I took the damn thing out of the trailer. And I went down, you know, there's a couple of fellas that makes these cement steps down over just this side of Spar. And I went down and I got the what they call it, the bottom slab. It's just about as big as the top of this table. Mm-hmm. And I got one of them and brought it over there, and where it has the step part on the front here, well, I took and dug a trench and put it right down in the ground so that the thing just sits right on the ground, right flat.
Mm-hmm.
It makes an awful nice thing to set one of them washing machines on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's smooth and it's level. So the last time I see her, I was working down there in the restaurant. She was in there getting some dinner. And well, I didn't realize who she was. I'd always seen her with a dress on, you know. And Jesus, she come in there with shorts on. It was damned awful short. And not much of anything else on. Jeez, and she come around there and started right in talking to me, you know. I see who she was. She was telling me that when they moved up onto this other lot up here, they wanted to get me to move that step up there to put their washing machine on. Well, I said, I'll come and move it, but golly, most any of them fellas can, that does your other moving, I said, they have trucks there, they can just pick it right up and put it right on. I don't know what she is going to do.
Well, can you just set the washing machine on it?
Well, it's just like this. Your washing machine will take up about this, and you got this much here to stand on, don't you see?
Yeah. You don't have to bolt it down?
No.
You don't. It's heavy enough, it'll stay right there. The machine, I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, gee whiz,
the only time that one of them automatic washing machines has any dance to it is when the spin drying, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When the spinner dryer runs there, well, then sometimes they'll shimmy and shake. But
well, you could put it out just outside there on that slab.
Yeah.
And you don't need to have a shed on it. You just throw a piece of canvas or cloth or something on it. What's wrong with that?
Ain't nothing.
Would that keep it dry?
Yeah. Just cover up your machine.
Yeah. You know what I've laid off to do for several years? I may never do it. But now you take a regular shed or barn, Miss Eastman. You set anything down in there, like a discara.
Yeah.
Well, it's always in the way. And you see, it's just so high,
yeah.
And it takes up the whole space. And you know what I had in mind all this time. You just take a little shed. About, it don't have to be high enough to walk in. That you can back your equipment in. And all you got to do, you see, have it sort of backed up to the north,
yeah,
where the wind comes from mostly, and back the stuff up there and drop it. You want to close it in over there. And that's as good as you need. It wouldn't take much. Of course, it takes the same amount of roof.
Well, I built a similar to that there, up home there, on the back part of a barn. Well, we had that, it was about 6 feet high, so he used to back his corn harvester and the drill and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
In there, see?
Well, now you take this, hay baler.
Yeah.
You don't need it. That's, yeah, as high as that is. All you need is just some place to get it out,
yeah,
of the weather.
Back it in.
If you want to work on it, you can pull it out, can't you? Now, I'll tell you one thing. Put your posts far apart.
Put what?
Your posts.
Yeah.
When you start putting little 8-foot poles in there, that's too close.
Yeah.
They need to be at least 10-foot, don't they? And front. It gives you a little bit more leeway.
especially if I'm going to drive in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Oh, I could think of, if I had this all to do again, Mr. Eastman, I could save a whole lot of money. I've learned the hard way. Oh, sir.
Well, you sure got a nice shed.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You going to have to add to it to have some more room?
Well, I'm going to one of these days.
Oh. We just sat down out there, Miss Eastman. That's what she means, is you're storing stuff in there.
I never saw so much. You just need more storage place.
Yeah.
Well, now you got the same thing. You got it stored about this high.
Yeah.
And that takes all that up space up there. Well, now that's what I get into, you see.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny Palmer's got that store. Look how high that ceiling is. And his floor is just cluttered.
Money in that store?
Huh?
Does he make money out of that store?
Well, John Palmer? You know how much business they do there a day?
No.
Boy, I'm telling you, they do a lot of it.
I don't know how he knows what he's got.
They do better than $350,000 a year out of there.
Ooh.
And you wouldn't think that, would you?
No. That's $1,000 a day and better.
Yeah. And the way he sells that stuff, he's pretty near 50% profit. There's no damn wonder he's a multimillionaire.
Right now, this here, is that any good for winter corn?
Yeah, that's regular winter corn.
Sure.
Yeah, that's size cord. That's regular size cord. Did you get that down there?
Yeah.
It did have the mark on there, what it cost, but I don't see.
$375. 100 foot.
Well, now that ain't too bad.
I was going to get a little from you, you see, just get a couple of windows, but I couldn't find you, so I had to go ahead and buy a whole 100 feet.
Yeah. Well, I got a hank of it out there in the truck, but when I put in the windows there, I was going to charge a nickel a foot.
Well, that's...
But you know, you're taking cut off.
Yeah. Well, that's
six, cut off 6-7 feet.
That's practically a nickel there. Oh, he got that nylon.
Yeah.
And he charged it. He charged it.
I don't like the nylon for window cord. I put it all through his house over Anthony there. Every doggone wind in the house, I put that nylon sash cord in there. It ain't as big around as that.
Yeah. It does better. This does better.
Huh?
It does better having a little more size to it.
I think so.
Yes.
You know, it's a funny thing. You start fishing one of them window cords in. Sometimes you can push it in up there, right in the pulley, you know, and push it right in, it'll come right down. Maybe the next doggone winter you go to, you'll fish for an hour before you can get that cord down through there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There'll be mud dauber's nests and every other thing in there.
Yeah. That June.
Yeah, the devil was trying to get me down in there. I was in an old house.
Look at that, Mr.
Yeah.
Ain't he pretty?
That's a woodpecker, isn't it?
Yeah. That's that red-bellied. Both of them was up there, just then. Now, they eat that chick scratch,
yeah.
And the suet, too. So you might say they've got a balanced diet up there, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah, but if you had a cat now, you wouldn't have no birds.
That's right.
You know, I'm beginning to think if I had a dog, I would have more birds. Something to keep all these, you see, you got possums and coons and foxes and armadillos and skunks.
Do you have many skunks up around here?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
But we don't have any more ground birds anymore. The meadowlark's about gone,
yeah,
and
yeah.
There's no the bobwhites. We used to have them old bull bats.
You know,
we used to have the whippoorwills,
yeah.
And now we just go hear one or two every now and then.
Yeah, well, we have them down home there. You see, they're getting that woods in back of Opal there. And then there's, a few of them, quail. A few quail come around there. Every once in a while you'll see half a dozen of them. And there's one whippoorwill that started hollering nights there lately.
Yeah. We used to have a lot of them.
Yeah.
This season. And now it's rare.
But you see in the roads, you see a pile of armadillos and possums.
Yeah.
Once in a while, a skunk.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right. A dog would keep
that. If you had a dog, it'd run
along. Once in a while, you'll see a coon in the road, too.
Yeah.
Or it got out there in the lights.
Yeah, the lights get them. And you know, the traffic is 24 hours now.
Yeah. You know, the United States government in Canada have traded all of the logs that we need here for lumber
to
Japan for automobiles.
Yeah.
We don't need them damned automobiles.
No.
Now I seen a piece in the paper here a couple of weeks ago where Japan was getting, I think it was 70,000 tons of beef from the United States and Canada. And they're giving us automobiles and televisions and stuff back, something we don't need. Well, the government's trying to cram them down our throats. And they were telling us how much better cars there was and one thing and another. Now they've come out with the idea that the Datsun car will give a lot more mileage than any other car driving 40 to 50 miles an hour. All right, but who drives a Datsun 40 to 50 miles an hour?
Yeah.
You start and go from here to Ocala, and there'll be from 3 to 7 of them damn cars go by here. And you're keeping just under the speed limit.
Oh, that much?
Well, geez, they drive them, you know, 85, 90 miles an hour right straight along all the while. So how in hell are they getting a good gas mileage out of them?
Yeah.
Now they're coming out, if you don't buy a smaller car and cut down on the gasoline, you ain't going to get no gas.
Yeah.
Now you take John Palmer down there. Here's something that I don't just quite understand how it's going to turn out. John has sold that thrift gasoline for years. Always sold it, you know. Here's a new thrift station. And there's a lot of them just started up. And here's this one right here at Orange Lake. All right. They keep him writing gasoline to sell all the while. But John Palmer down there, they shut him off. See, they told John he was going to get just 50% of what he'd been in getting. Well, now John is supplying all them farmers down around in there with gas.
Oh, is he?
And what in the devil are they going to do? But here's this fellow up here at Orange Lake, because it's a thrift station owned by the Thrift Oil Company. They're keeping that in gasoline right along.
That's right. Mr. Eastman, how's your
hearing aid? They're down home.
Oh, you don't
care? I wear them on Sunday. No, geez, you take them, you get them tuned just right to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Jesus, somebody hit a piece of tin or something and your head will go right up. My God, go right off. You take somebody, hit a piece of tin, or you hit it, take a hammer and hit a piece against a pipe or something like that, and that echo in there, something awful.
Yeah, it really gets you.
I don't know why that picks up so much more of a sound than your ordinary ear would.
Yeah.
You know, you take and hit a pipe with your ordinary ear in good shape and it don't bother you too much. But you put one of them hearing aids on and you hit a piece of pipe and boy, it'll make your eyes pop right out.
And you had to lay out right smart money for them.
Huh? You had to what?
They didn't give you them.
Jesus, $700.
$700?
$700 for two.
I didn't know they made things that expensive.
Yeah.
They don't charge that much for television.
No. And here's my neighbor down there, Opal's man. He bought one, $369, just like mine. But by buying the two, I got the two for $700. And he was out doing something outdoor there, and gee, the first thing he knew, he'd lost his. So he had to go and buy another one. And they charged him just as much for the second one as they did the first.
Oh, you just used it on one ear?
Yeah. Well, I got one for each ear, see?
Yes. Yeah. Well, now, you didn't get that through the doctor you went to see.
He told me not to buy one. He said it wouldn't do me any good.
Yeah.
But Jesus, my wife and everybody else, they was after me to buy one. My Jesus, and they just kept hounding me, so I went and bought them.
I
hadn't had them a week before I knew I'd throwed my money away.
But they didn't let you try them out for a week free.
They won't let you try nothing.
Well, I'll let you try something.
They won't let you try nothing, but Jesus, you've got to pay for it right before you get it. And when you get it.
Did you try these? You didn't try these?
No.
Put the chair over just a little bit. Loud enough, too loud.
Yeah, that's about it. That's a little loud. But now, the way that is set, are you supposed to hear in both ears alike?
Well, you can change it. see you.
Yeah, now she's adjustable.
Yeah. Now, you see, what I was going to tell you, I don't know what happened that I didn't show you them before. I didn't show you these before.
No.
Well, you see what it is.
Yeah. Well, I know.
You
know. Old Dan Mitchell, the fellow that used to come down with me from New York, he had one similar, only had one on one side.
Well, you can do it either way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got it for one side.
Well, you can do it either way. Now, you see, on your set, you can fix it this way, you see, and you don't hear this.
Yeah.
Or you can put it over here, and it'll do both. See, you hear it here and down here too. But then you put it over here, you see, and it cuts it off if you want to just hear it by yourself. And this will pull in about anything, this one will.
Yeah, it will.
If you got an antenna.
What make is that?
That's a Sony. That's a Japanese one. Yeah. But you don't have to get it Japanese. But see, the fellow who does this work for me handles Sony equipment.
Yeah.
And he's the best electronics man. So I just bought it from him. Now, he got the little Sony, you know, a regular Sony television. This is just, you know, just
that's
a little.
Special.
This is just a little ordinary set. They just cost $100. And, but now, you see, with this, you wouldn't have to turn it up and for the other people in the room.
Well, I tell
now,
you, that down home there, you know.
And very
down home, if there's a program on I want to hear, well, I put my hearing aids on, see, and then I don't have to turn it so loud.
Yeah. Well, and you see, this is not very long, but you can put an extension on it and sit over yonder or sit in the other room. It don't matter. You know, just put an extension on it. I got plenty of extensions.
Yeah.
Plenty of them. You see, this one here is 20 feet long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that's all there is to it. And these are about as good as you can get, and they only cost $15.
$15?
Yeah. So this whole thing here, you see, about $120.
Well, now if they can make them for $15, they could take and make these like I got for a damn lot less than
that's
what
right.
They get from.
Yeah, it's just, just depending on who you go to.
And that fellow that I bought of, well, he's going to be back coming through here, every 2-3 weeks, and he'd stop in and see how I was making out with him.
Yeah.
He's never been back once.
I haven't seen him since. Why,
well,
he don't.
I think I better run along home.
If you want to try this out, you can take it down there.
Well, I don't know if it's necessary for that, because we got that one down there, and we get along pretty good with that, because if I put the hearing aids on, then it goes on pretty good. Well, come down and see us someday.
All right, and I'm going to visit, Mr. Eastman. Thank you for helping. You get the
rain, not too much.
Wait a minute, I have a little something for you.
The end of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, the 9th of June, 73, Channel 2 right around 1500. Is the end of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, the 9th of June, 73. This is Channel 2 right around 1500. This is Channel 2 right around 1500, and the end of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, the 9th of June, 73.